This is Eric from Cheyenne, Wyoming, and you're listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast.
Welcome in to another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast, the first line edition. Adam Minnick along with Lonnie Goldsmith and our executive producer, the double shifter himself, Richard Cote. Richard, shoveling, snow blowing, digging out about 72 feet of snow, I believe, is around you.
That's close. Rounding close. Up, I guess. Yeah. Plus or minus. No, we got about a foot here in Denver. At least that was the last total I saw. And if you go just west into the foothills, they were getting upwards of 5 feet of snow. If you went up north I-25 into the Fort Collins area, they got a trace. So it was very concentrated on the foothills in the metro, and it was just a giant mess on Thursday morning.
That is roughly the amount of snow we've gotten here in Minnesota for the season. 1 foot.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been it's bad. I'm very concerned about wildfire season here in Minnesota. It's going to be a rough summer, I'm afraid.
And it wasn't the light, fluffy snow. It was the thick, wet, heavy.
The heart attack snow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just the wet concrete everywhere.
That's where you need snow throwers and not shovels. But, yeah, in the St. Louis area last night, we got two and a half inches sized hail. I mean, there are businesses that damaged, and there are car lots that have no new cars to sell. After last night up in St. Charles County, especially the county kind of northwest of where I'm at here in St. Louis County. But it was, I've never seen hail this size. It was nuts. It was nuts.
How's the house?
We're fine. We got no hail. Oh, so my area, we had two tornado sirens yesterday. Woke up to that. That was one of them. The other was while in the chiropractor office. So that's always fun. But it's right next to an airport. The regional airport in Chesterfield, and the fact that helicopters were still going up and down in planes. I was like, well, it can't be that serious if they're still flying. I mean, tornado siren while the airport's still open. I'm going to trust the planes.
Right.
That's kind of what I went with.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go with them. I want to thank our friends at mycustomsportschair.com for making this podcast appreciated. Mycustomsportschair.com. Check them out. You can get all your logos on your type of chair that you want, or load up Richard Cote's face. That is our newest favorite chair, is the Cote face chair. That's what we want.
Nobody wants that. Nobody.
So, you know, it's a good thing the snow came before my second favorite Cote's birthday this week. So you were able to get out, speaking of planes, get out and enjoy lunch with probably one of our most avid listeners, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. We got out, got to eat lunch while watching the planes take off from the Centennial Airport. Yeah, it's a great time. And then the snow.
Yeah, she is the wife that listens to the podcast the most out of four wives between the two lines.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's safe to say.
Okay. So we're going to start. I'm going to start off the ice because why not? Because Anson Carter makes news. Atlanta Part 3. Now, we have two bids that have publicly announced that they're pushing in Atlanta, which comes about a month after Salt Lake announced that they are in talks for expansion, which all comes ahead of a vote coming up, actually an auction coming up, where the Coyotes are going to try to buy land in an auction for a future arena. And it's all timing out together, which makes me think, where there's smoke, there's fire. So either we're expanding into those two cities, or we're moving Arizona to Utah, and then Atlanta along with Quebec or Houston is going to be the expansion teams. Something's happening with the next CBA coming up in 26. Guys, Lonnie, it's lining up. I mean, it's lining up.
Yes. Yes. Unfortunately, we're going to see a third version of an Atlanta hockey franchise. It would appear.
But it's different this time.
Sure. You keep telling yourself that. I know that's what they say. And I'm sorry. I've seen the movie twice now, and it's terrible. No, I think that the obvious preference would be for the league to be able to, if they're going to get to expand twice, then they're going to want the Coyotes to win that auction build the arena in Arizona and stay put. And then Salt Lake, Atlanta, Quebec can fight it out for the two expansion slots, which net the rest of the owners a whole lot of money. That would obviously be the preference. I think what's better for hockey is that the Coyotes get out of Arizona as fast as is humanly possible, get to Salt Lake City, and then figure out what the expansion looks like from there.
So what's shocking to me is even Greg Wyshynski is starting to say Atlanta is going to be different this time. A couple things that a lot of people are pointing out when you read, if you're looking at the Alpharetta Sports Entertainment Group, which is the Anson Carter Group, which also includes the COO from the Rangers, the owner of the Halifax Moose, and a sponsor in NASCAR. Or there's the Vernon Kraus Group, who's talking about expansion. So you got two groups there. The one thing that I will say that I do believe from living there when I did in the mid-2000s to now, they're pointing out that Atlanta does now have some homegrown Atlanta people that are fans that have grown up with the Gwinnett organization in the ECHL, that have grown up, you know, with Kennesaw's hockey team and UGA's hockey team and the club, like that, and youth hockey, that you're not transplanted in, that you may actually have a generation of Atlantans, native born and bred Atlantans. Richard, I look at the attendance at the Braves. I look at the attendance at the Falcons, especially when they're not good. And I'm like, do Atlantans care?
I think it doesn't matter how much, you know, born and raised talent you have on the club or involvement you have with the club. If they're any good, you'll get decent numbers. I mean, even for a sport that's, I mean, it's got some history in Atlanta, but it doesn't really have strong ties to Atlanta. If you have a good team there, sure, you'll draw the fans. But like you mentioned, you have a team that maybe has a little bit of a down season. That's going to be a lot harder of a sell in a place like Atlanta than it would be in like a Quebec City.
And it's not like Atlanta. So, I mean, Vegas has been phenomenal and for a lot of reasons, but that's a destination city. Seattle has done really well. That's been a hockey town. Like Vegas is a destination city. We've seen the visitors. You know, we're seeing what's happening in Arizona, even with the smaller arena. They're getting it sometimes at least half visitors because Phoenix in the winter, destination for fans in cold climates. Lonnie, do you see it? I mean, Atlanta's not really, I mean, Nashville was a destination for people. I don't think Atlanta is a destination for people.
No, I don't think so either. Certainly not in the same way that those other cities are. I do, you know, the one interesting thing that I think it is can be a great sports town. Atlanta United soccer team, which plays at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, they routinely sell out. They're the second highest average attendance of a Western Hemisphere soccer team behind a team from Brazil. People will go out and it's not like they've had one good season of their, you know, four or five so far. Like, it's not like they're tearing the league up. So people will show up for games. Obviously it's a lot fewer games in a soccer season and a football season than in a, you know, basketball or hockey season. But people show up.
Apparently. I mean, that's the one thing. They show up in the playoffs for the Braves. Okay, Lonnie and Richard, and death is not an option.
Uh-oh.
If only one of these two hockey cities would exist, who do you pick? Phoenix area or the Atlanta area? At least one of the two, I think, is going to for sure be a thing 3 years from now. Pick your poison. Because I know you guys aren't going to say both.
So are we talking like realistically what we think or what we want?
They're both going to happen. Let's not kid ourselves.
Okay.
Right.
As long as Bettman is commissioner, Arizona's figuring something out. So
exactly.
If it had to be one or the other, which would be better for the league?
I think what would be better for the league, and I can't believe I'm saying this, is for the Coyotes to stay in Arizona.
Okay.
Rather than have a third unsuccessful franchise in Atlanta that eventually moves to Quebec City, because let's face it, the NHL doesn't necessarily want to expand there for monetary reasons. They may move a team there later on. But yeah, I think what's better for hockey right now is for Arizona to stay, or for the Coyotes to stay in Arizona.
Luani?
Atlanta. You know, they've, you know, it's funny. Like, we all joke about the fact that, yes, this will be a third time. Arizona's basically had, I mean, they're on their third life right now, right? There's the ownership group that moved them there. Then the league took them over. And now you've got the current group. I might even be missing one in there. And it's one failure after another right now. And so, yes, Atlanta has gotten, you know, they left twice to go to better climates. And for some reason, the league is not stepping in and stopping this insanity in Arizona. Now, that said, I think in 3 years, if we don't have a team in Atlanta, we will be on our way, you know, depending on when the arena gets done, because, you know, whether if Phoenix gets the land, then, you know, Salt Lake and Atlanta become expansion candidates. Hopefully the Coyotes don't get the land. They move to Salt Lake and then we can just put this nightmare behind us. But, you know, Bettman has been propping up this, you know, this dream of Arizona for almost 30 years now. It's a joke.
Yeah, I can't disagree more. What would I choose? I actually think what's better for the NHL is Arizona because of geography. Mm-hmm. Losing, I think gaining two teams in the West is more important. I mean, you're going to have equality in all that. So the question becomes is if you go Atlanta, then if Houston, let's say, comes in, that's that. I think it's Central's fine. Dallas gets a rival, but I think it's better off with Arizona kind of being the bridge to the West Coast versus Atlanta being a bridge up the East Coast for Carolina to have a rival again, or Washington to be able to grab somebody else, you know, that the old Southeast way, since the Northeast teams are not embracing the rivalry there. But that's why I think it's better. I think Atlanta and Arizona both equally have the same chance to succeed, or the same success rate. Yeah, that's how I look at it. I think Utah's a done deal. I think Salt Lake City's getting a team. I think lock it up. I think that's happening. That statement was too strong, too singular, and too blessed by the NHL for it to come out. That's happening. Mm-hmm. So now it's a matter of, okay, you have Quebec City, Atlanta, Houston, Phoenix, most likely as the carousel.
If the Coyotes can't get the arena done this time, like if they don't win this auction, like they're.
Oh, it's done. If they don't win the auction, it's done.
It has to be done. Like, this is ridiculous.
I don't think the players will stand. I think at that point you're getting close to the CBA, and I think the players are going to step up and complain. You're already hearing rumblings that
you're hearing about it from Marty Walsh.
Yep. The locker rooms are not good enough. The facility, it's not working.
I mean, if Marty Walsh, you know, the head of the NHLPA is complaining about it, like he's not, these complaints are coming from somewhere. He is the, he is the voice of the players.
Yeah,
he is. Yep. So, okay. So that takes care of expansion. Now we go on the ice, Minnesota, some cojones from that coaching staff and players learning a rule in the NHL that they didn't know existed. Now I ask you guys honestly, because I did know it was a rule. If you pull your goalie in the 3-on-3 overtime and lose, you don't get your loser point. You don't get the 1 point for making OT. Did you guys know that before last week?
I did.
I did not.
So Minnesota, over the weekend, pulls their goalie. They end up winning 4-on-3 in OT, which, to me, it's a great idea. When you're chasing, you want 2 points. Now, the question becomes, why would you let your opponent even get the point? If you're planning on pulling your goalie in overtime, should you have pulled him at the end of regulation to gain 2 points on your opponent versus one?
I mean, yeah, but Yes, with an asterisk at the end of that. Who? I mean, where was the puck controlled at the end of the third period? Was it mostly in Minnesota's
end?
Don't ask
such deep questions. At some point, there's always a chance to pull your goalie.
That is something that, of course, you need to be looking at. If you're pulling your goalie, you don't want to do it when it's in your own end. So in the last three minutes
of the game, the puck was not it couldn't have been in their own end for the last 3 minutes of the
game. Or maybe they didn't control it well. I mean, yes, you obviously need to be pulling the goalie to get the 2 points rather than just one from a divisional opponent who you're chasing in the standings. However, pulling your goalie in overtime, I don't know. I feel like that's definitely the gutsier call.
See, I think it's the easier call because I think 4-on-3 is a bigger advantage than 6-on-5.
Hey, you got more open ice to keep that extra guy. Yeah, but.
Exactly. I think 4-on-3 and the way the puck control and the way things are in OT, I think is a way bigger power play than a 6-on-5 empty net situation.
I'd rather, if I'm Minnesota, I'd rather risk, you know, so Nashville gets a point, big deal, but I would rather, I would go for it in overtime. I'm not, you know, the situation has to work out. Like you've got to have, if you have solid puck control in the offensive zone, that's one thing. If it's a back and forth game, if it's dump in and you don't win it, your goalie's mid pull, like a lot of things go wrong there. And there's no, like if they'd gotten a face off deep in the Nashville end, there was an icing or something. Okay. Then I think you pull them in regulation and go for it then, but absolutely think it's the right call in overtime.
I just would do it. If you're going to do it in overtime, I think you do it in regulation because I think the two points to zero is bigger than 2 points to one, but good for him. Now we'll see if other coaches do it. You know, it's a copycat world in sports, and now we'll see how this goes, down the line for other teams that are going to have that. But here's the big moral of the story. Minnesota's not making the playoffs either way.
Oh no. Absolutely not.
I know they're only 4 points behind, but Vegas just got good. Vegas just got really, really good. Once, great trade deadline moves, even for the future. And for some reason, Nashville is playing out of their mind post trade deadline. Like, lost their first game post trade deadline last night. Like, they're 10 straight games of points for those guys. Like, they want to go to the playoffs, apparently.
I mean, somebody else has. Why not them?
Yeah. It's
the amazing thing to me about Vegas in the trade deadline, they still managed, all the players they got, still managed to keep their first rounder. Now, granted, they have no second, third, fourth, fifth, or first next year or 2026.
But that's also because they traded the most previous first, the actual player they drafted with their 2023 pick was in that hurdle trade.
True.
So they did give away a first rounder. I mean, he hasn't played. I mean, the guy they picked, they gave away. So they gave a first rounder away. But the fact that they got San Jose to retain 6 years of the salary is shocking. Like 16%, like for all the years.
Yeah.
You wonder if McCrimmon, you know, wore a mask and brought a gun with to the negotiation to rob them, or
I mean what San Jose is doing is Arizona. Like, the difference is the player's not retired.
Right.
I mean, Arizona just paid for guys to not play. San Jose is paying for somebody else's guy for 6 years.
It's ridiculous.
Is there any more fun GM than McCrimmon? Like, who's better than Vegas at a trade deadline or an offseason?
Yeah.
Can't name one.
Love him.
He's really feeling it right now.
So John Buchegras declared earlier this week that the 16 teams that we see now are it. Go home. We're just talking about seeding right now. Nothing's going to change. I mean, probably in the West. Lonnie, we're going to go to you as our beloved Eastern gentleman, you know, losing 7 in a row for your wheeled wing. I don't know how he could say that we're talking the Islanders guaranteed to be in. I mean, there's a log jam all of a sudden for that second wild card.
I mean, right. You've got the Islanders at 72, the Red Wings at 72, the Caps at 71, the Sabres at 69, the Devils at 68, the Penguins at 67, like 5 points separating six teams. It doesn't mean it won't finish this way, but there's going to be a lot of swapping of spots between now and the end of the season in that Eastern wildcard spot.
Hold on. I'm going to call you out on something.
Sure.
If Minnesota is dead 4 points behind, why is Pittsburgh not dead 5 points behind?
So I think Pittsburgh's a better team than Minnesota.
Okay. I mean, it's fair. I mean, I also think that the Islanders, Red Wings, Capitals aren't as good as the Predators and Knights too.
Not by a long shot.
Yeah. I mean, Richard, I think the bottom of the West is stronger than the bottom playoff picture of the East right now.
Oh, 100%. And yeah, I was going to touch on that point too. That Nashville and Vegas are just playing insane right now. When you have, you know, the Islanders 6-4-0 in their last 10, Detroit 3-7-0 in their last 10, Washington, you know, not even at 500. I mean, the best of the bunch is Buffalo.
Well, let's talk
in their last 10.
You made the Red Wings 7-game losing streak sound not terrible. Yeah, they're 3-7 in their last 10.
Oh, no
they're 0-7 in their last 7.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Red Wings were on a 6-game heater and then unveiled their jersey patch sponsor of a waste management company. And the Red Wings have proceeded to play like garbage ever since. Also, it does coincide with Dylan Larkin getting injured.
And I was going to say that may be bigger than
that. Maybe probably has a little more to do with it, but you know, I'm a big fan of, you know, I'm a believer in karma also when it comes to this, and putting a terrible jersey patch on is terrible. But yeah, I mean, look, Larkin, it's a combination of Larkin and the entire team has gone into a slump at the wrong time. You know, some of it is goaltending. A lot of it is goaltending. A lot of it is defense. You're asking Alex Lyon is sort of carrying the load. He's never had to carry the load before. And, you know, has he hit a wall? Some of the saves he's flailed at in this losing streak sure as hell looks like it.
Yeah.
This is not a good hockey team right now.
I think the bigger news is Buffalo right back in it. They 7 of the last 10, they've got points. They're finally plus minus in the goal differential. They're finally figuring out ways to stop the puck. Maybe the best defensive team right now in this bottom mix. You know, when you look at that, I think the Lightning are starting to separate a bit the last few games. They're starting to strike, but the Islanders, Wings, Caps, Sabres, Devils, Penguins, I wouldn't sleep on the Sabres. The problem is we've seen this before at the Sabres, but could this be the year they finally crack it? Because, I mean, I don't think New Jersey and Pittsburgh definitely didn't do enough of the trade deadline to make you think that they're going for it. I mean, Pittsburgh, they're not going for it with their trade.
No, you know, it's funny though, the Buffalo thing. And Richard, I wanted to ask you about about Buffalo, because obviously there's the Buffalo Colorado connection in the trade, mm-hmm. Yep. The straight up Mittelstadt for Bowen Byram. That one caught me off guard. What was the vibe there? Because that is our first time talking about trades since the deadline.
Yeah. So, I mean, the vibe here was, it kind of caught a lot of people off guard with that. He was liked well in the locker room. He was liked well by fans. I think it was more of a cost-cutting issue so that they could bring on more. And that was the piece that they had to move. Somebody brought up the point that maybe his, you know, penalties in the last few seasons, his penalty minutes have been going up and up and up, which has really cost Colorado in a few games. But I can't see that as a reason to want to trade a player of his caliber. So yeah, I mean, it was something that kind of caught Avs fans off guard, and you know, we were sad to see him go.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing how many of those middle guys are fan favorites,
right?
And it's always tough to digest. I thought it was a good trade for both teams. It's going to be one of those trades where let's see who makes a difference with their new team.
Yeah. Colorado needed a good you know, second line center, and that's what they got.
No. The Islanders, I'm not for that bottom. I mean, can you doubt? You can't count out an Ovechkin team, because if he goes on a tear, he can carry a team.
Mm-hmm.
You got Patrick Kane without Dylan Larkin, but maybe he can propel some goodness there. Buffalo is a fun story. I mean, I'm not sure I'm buying the Islanders. I almost want to think the Capitals have the inside edge just with veteran presence, but they traded away a key piece. I mean, there's about four or five teams. I don't know who to pick for wild card two in the East. I don't even know where I'm putting my money at this point.
I'm leaning Islanders simply because I think Sorokin puts it together. Because I think theoretically he's the best goalie of that group that's chasing. I think him and Varlamov together, that's a good goaltending tandem. And yeah, Sorokin hasn't been great this season, but if he starts putting it together, theoretically that's the best room of the bunch right now. I would take those two over anybody else out there in that pack.
More likely Sorokin gets hot or Ovechkin gets hot and carries their team. Richard.
I think it's Sorokin.
And I don't trust the Capitals back end whatsoever either. I just,
oh no.
Ovechkin, I mean, Sorokin hasn't been hot all year. Ovi goes in streaks.
Even if he does get hot, I mean, we've seen him in the past, you know, carry I wouldn't say insignificantly talented Washington Capitals team. This year, it's a bigger lift. I don't know if he's the guy to carry that team.
Fair. It's, by the way, can either of you name the current starting goaltender for Washington?
Nope.
He's a Minnesota kid. I can't remember the name, though.
Charlie Lindgren.
That's right.
Charlie Lindgren. He's beating out Darcy Kemper. They brought in to stabilize.
Wait, Darcy Kemper?
Yeah.
He's played like 30 games here this year, man.
Wow. Yeah, the Avs traded him after the Stanley Lindgren, Cup here. Yeah.
Charlie Lindgren, undrafted out of Lakeville, Minnesota.
You're sleeping on your Washington goalies, huh?
Wow.
Speaking of goalies, we had a close call, and now Boston's got to smooth things out, so they probably need to go to manscaped.com to get their smoothing stuff and supplies to have yourself smoothed. It's a little prickly in Boston as they at the trade deadline tried to trade their goalie Linus Ullmark, and he declined because one of the places, it sounds like LA, was on his list and he vetoed it. And apparently they were taking calls on Swayman, but rejected an ask or two on it because it wasn't enough. Going to Ullmark to waive his no trade while you've got goalie A and goalie B there. Things are going to get interesting now in Boston. I mean, they I don't know if it's they were choosing one over the other or if it was just one was wanted by teams more than the other. But the interesting thing was the guy that they were going to trade was the one with one more year of term left. The guy that they don't want to trade is an RFA after this season.
That room is going to get awfully expensive next year.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, to me, it says that, look, this is possibly the best example of a 1A, 1B goalie situation in hockey. Certainly of a good team. Like, you almost never see this. You know, usually somebody will somebody will get hot and take a, there'll be a good long run, but like you could go to either of these guys in any situation and feel pretty comfortable. I'm guessing it's just a matter of, you know, Swayman being 5 years younger and a little, even though he's a little bit cheaper, that's a expensive trade. I think with 1 year of term, you can maybe try to get a guy like Ullmark for less. It certainly bails out Boston a little bit of having to make a decision, because they're going to have to make a decision soon enough on this.
Mm-hmm.
And Swayman is young. At what point is he going to want to have his own net, right?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we don't get fun in the NHL offseason with GMs, but I mean, qualifying offer to Swayman, and then somebody throws an offer sheet out there. I mean, if you're a GM that doesn't throw an offer sheet out to Swayman and forcing Boston to make a decision, then all you guys are colluding together, and this whole offer sheet stuff should just go away in the next CBA as an option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, the fact that it got out that he turned down the no trade, they've got some stuff. This is the first time we're seeing Boston make a choice, and they're going to have to live with the consequences of a player that said no to a trade that was on the table.
I mean, you got to think that Boston must have gotten one hell of an offer to even take it to Ullmark.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, and it was from one of the 16 teams on his no-trade list.
Right.
Which I find interesting, L.A. was, like, out of half the league, L.A. being one of the half that he didn't want to go to, which I think is interesting.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is, like, Boston is a team that is just so all about the chemistry.
Yes.
In the room. It has been mm-hmm. for years. It's the same leading cast of characters year in and year out. And it's worked like to tremendous success over the last decade. And that they would be willing to sort of upset the apple cart a bit really says to me that they got a big offer.
Well,
big enough offer to ask.
But at the same time, I don't know if this upsets the room. Because I think it's still first of all, Ullmark and Swayman seem really tight. I mean, they started this whole goalie hug thing.
Goalie hug, yeah.
After win, and they've all talked, they've all said the right things. So I'm not sure it necessarily upsets the room. It may tweak the player a bit, but I think the room is fine. I think this is one of those things where this wasn't the room being affected. This is, okay, we have some talks in the summer.
I mean, I think that's part of it, but also I stand by the fact that LA must have made a godfather offer.
No, I don't disagree.
Can't refuse.
I don't disagree both had to happen. Yes.
Because if you're willing to take it to the player and risk pissing him off, a guy you might need to lean on for a deep playoff run, then it better have been worth it as an organization to go to him.
Yeah. And what's interesting a $5 million goalie with a team with only $2 million of cap space, and Boston wasn't going to retain. I mean, they can't afford to retain. And so mm-hmm. the question was, I mean, anything's an upgrade from Talbot and Rittich. Let's not kid ourselves there, but who was going to leave LA with a year or two of salary left to make that work?
I'm kind of amazed that a week after the deadline, that hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, that's what I want. I mean, where's Pierre and Elliot and all those, Wyshynski, all those guys when you need them to dig something up? Weeks. How come Weeksy doesn't have this one?
Right.
I mean, because if you're looking at the players with 1 year left are all, young guys. Like, you're not. Byfield was a number two overall pick. Turcotte was a first round pick. Kaliev was none of those. You're not doing that for a goalie.
No,
not when you're a fairly old team anyway. I don't think you're getting rid of your young cheap talent.
Yeah. You're not, you're getting rid of Gavrikov because then that kills your D.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was going to be, I want to know. Really, really want to know. So, but it's definitely an interesting one. We got some problems in Pittsburgh, guys. Jaromír Jágr has been stolen.
He has.
He's missing. He's bobbling somewhere. We don't know where. but the season of Jágr was supposed to happen more so. Fans were about to get a Jágr Jágrhead bobblehead, but after the shipment arrived in California, they got stolen. We have Homeland Security involved on this one. This is how serious it is. Is you know, you cross steal some, this is an international incident now. That's coming in. You've got a European that was shipped over from Asia that was stolen in the United States. I wonder if it was a FOCO bobblehead, by the way.
I was going to say, this wouldn't have happened if it was FOCO.
Yeah, there's no way FOCO would do this. You know, FOCO.com for all
never
your
bobblehead. Never would have been the case.
They would show up.
Absolutely.
So fans are getting a one-time scannable barcode that at a later date, when said bobbleheads show up or new bobbleheads show up, they will get them. You want to know the biggest irony in this thing is? So I read an article on the Penguin site. Their website is sponsored by FedEx.
Ooh.
I mean, just saying. Irony.
Well, it doesn't say it was the Pittsburgh Penguins tweet did not say it was lost. It said the shipment was stolen.
Right. Right. I'm not blaming
FedEx necessarily.
No,
easy.
Not at all. I'm not blaming them whatsoever. They're great.
We want to be careful slandering a multinational corporation.
One of the top three shippers that we have here in the US, definitely in the top three. I just thought it was funny. I haven't gone to their site in a while to read an article, but the one that I read was off their site, and on the top of the page, I see a FedEx logo.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's irony.
It's a little irony.
Steely, I mean, maybe? Pittsburgh area?
It is. I don't know what organization has bigger debacles. That, like, this is a team that was in bankruptcy in the 70s. They literally had padlocks on their arena. They, you know, their star player had to get them out of bankruptcy. They had a Zamboni breakdown that delayed a game for 2 hours a couple times in the 80s. And they had one of the most god-awful movies ever filmed, that had everybody's name, but their goalie's name take place in their arena.
I believe it was Katie Baker who did post on Twitter her response to this is sudden death too, as her quote tweet to this story. So
yeah.
Are you saying Jean-Claude Van Damme wasn't believable as a goalie?
Oh my God. So bad.
The mascot bad. Attacking him, the roof of the igloo opening mid game. I mean, come the on. Roof this movie had everything.
That's where I love the roof opening of the igloo. That's where it got fake for me. I was with them until they opened a roof of a non-retractable roof stadium. Come on. I mean, yeah. Little known fact, though, Tom Barrasso, the only player of the Penguins team that wouldn't let his name be used in the movie.
Good for him.
Yeah. He held strong. Tom Barrasso, not a fan of the media there. But, man, this is this franchise, I can't find another franchise that has screwier stories than Pittsburgh.
By the way, the igloo did have retractable.
Are we going down a rabbit hole now?
The roof was retractable.
What?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I just learned something today. You educated me.
This is what I do here.
That was legit. So that was so that was the real part of the movie.
Yes. Yes. Jean-Claude Van Damme fighting with the mascot. Not so much.
No, mascot. Well, I've seen people fight mascots before.
Yeah, right?
That's true.
I mean, come on. I mean, so wait. Okay. Oh, God. Now we're going. Why would they build a retractable roof, multi-purpose, not 60,000-seat facility with a roof that opens? What was the purpose to that?
No clue.
Okay.
I mean, fireworks, maybe. Open the route, you know.
No.
Man,
so all these years, they could have had an outdoor game in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I suppose technically.
Like, we could have had an outdoor Stanley Cup in the early 90s.
We could have. God, that would have been bad ice, I feel like. I'm not sure early 90s was ready for that.
Why? I'm learning something new.
Did they have other events happening in there? Like, I mean, I see a picture of the roof opening. But
I mean, they had concerts. I mean, you know, it's standard, you know, concerts, wrestling, you know, you name it. It's
ooh, wrestling under the stars. Yes.
It was the first indoor stadium with a retractable roof. 6 of the 8 panels. Why?
Why not?
Yeah.
Apparently they opened it up for numerous concerts.
Okay.
It's almost like an amphitheater.
Almost.
Almost.
Not no quite an arena, not quite an amphitheater. It. Yeah.
I don't. Okay. Wow. That's probably why they picked the igloos, because it was an indoor arena with an open roof. So it made for the scene that they needed for him to rappel down and save the world.
By beating up a mascot.
Among other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And saving a penalty shot.
Not the first guy that's ever fought a mascot.
No.
Oh my God. Now I don't even know where to go to now. Now what do we talk about after? I mean, I'm just floored by this igloo. I mean, I can't believe I never knew that. All these years, I thought that was the fake part of the, I now have to go watch Sudden Death and rethink what parts I don't like of the movie. Where it goes off the rails.
I'm not sure knowing the roof actually opens changes anything.
But that was my line in the sand. I gotta find a new line.
That was your line in the sand.
That was my line in the sand. I'm like, this is crazy. Why would you just randomly pick that? That was the part yes. I don't know what that's about me. Hey,
so we started with you know, international thievery, you know, international you know, multiple countries involved. We have like a half globe kind of thing opening up. Why don't we just go to the global series?
Oh yeah. Well done.
Start our next
season. Tie this all together.
Sabres. So the Jacksonville Jaguars of the NHL, aka the Buffalo Sabres, they're going to go play an exhibition game in Munich, and then they're going to hang around and jump over to Prague and play the Devils on October 4th and 5th. And then a month later, at the beginning of November, Dallas and Florida decide to go to Finland. So Buffalo Sabres yet again going across the pond. Literally the Jacksonville Jaguars of the NHL. It's like, yay, take a home game or two away.
And nobody bats an eye at that.
Nobody. Nope. But you're probably asking for it, which just, you know, tells you other things. But, I mean, there we go. There's your four teams going to Europe. Buffalo, Jersey, Dallas, Florida.
Dallas and Florida give you a little possible Stanley Cup rematch.
Oh, hey, that one's going to be a good game.
It's going to be a feisty couple of games there, potentially.
Yeah, early season.
It does involve a Kachuk, so.
It does. Oh, and it would actually be really unfortunate if it was a Stanley Cup rematch and we wouldn't get either of their games in the U.S.
Right.
Correct. Yes, because that is how it works, because they only play twice. So
that piece would be a bummer. But I think those are going to be good games, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you've got, I mean, obviously the Miro Heiskanen is the tie to Finland. Rupe Hintz, the tie to Finland. Lindell's Finn, on Dallas. So, I mean, it's not a shock that you're going to see those guys there at all. Hintz and Heiskanen definitely being, you know, two of the bigger Finns, I think, in the league right now. Oh, and of course, you know, I guess I should start with Florida's captain is Finn, too.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're looking at that. Yeah, a couple Swedes as well, which isn't far away. And you know, we know how those two teams love each other when it comes to hockey. But they definitely have traveled across. And then, Buffalo, because they're Buffalo. But, you know, we're going to Prague, Chechnya. So, I mean, that's the first time that they're going there.
Is it really a regular season game?
Yeah.
Oh, for regular. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. For Prague.
So. I like the exhibition game in Munich too. That's a. German hockey is really
it's getting there,
it's picking up.
Yeah So check that out. Pro Hockey News will have it, of course. It's about that time, Richard. Speaking of international, our Canadian listeners love this segment.
Oh yes, absolutely. And I like, you know, The Prague Games. Check it out. Love it. All right. It is that time for the PHN picks of the week. You know, we were pretty even last week. 3-2 across the board. No ground gain, no ground lost. I remain a game behind Adam, Lonnie, about 10 games behind me. So we got 5 games this week, and we'll see if Adam has any say on which ones need to be replaced.
Hold on. Can we pause there for a second? Lonnie, go ahead.
The best part of our last round of picks, Richard, was that you did not go 5-0.
I'm glossing over that.
I believe there's tape to check.
I'm glossing.
We are not allowing glossing to happen.
So what was the penance for this?
So no, the penance was if I went 5-0, you wouldn't critique my picks for the rest of the season.
Correct.
And next season.
Correct.
I didn't go 5-0.
Correct.
So you can critique them. I said,
wait a sec. Whoa, wait. Did we not ask for anything in return, Adam?
You did not.
We did not.
Son of
a... Because, no, but we didn't need to.
That's true.
Because so, now we're just going to criticize. Now he can't yell at us or complain to us.
Oh, that wasn't part of the deal. I can still complain about it. No, yeah, don't get me wrong. I still can. It's not going to do anything, but I can. All right. 5 games. Let's see which one Adam wants to pick out. We'll start with game number 1, the Battle of Florida, Tampa at the Florida Panthers. Adam, who you got?
I approve of this game.
I don't need your approval, but okay.
And I think Florida wins this one.
All right. Lonnie?
I don't know how you pick against Florida right now. They're just 8-2 and about to run away with the... I think they're going to run away with the Atlantic.
I will complain. The one thing I'll complain about this game is, once again, the NHL, I mean, all sports are doing this now, but hey, you have to have the internet package to watch this game because Saturday night, prime time, it's got to be on Plus and Hulu. That's it.
Yep.
Really, ABC can't do a doubleheader?
No. They're busy doing other things.
Yeah.
Like not doing hockey. I'm going to go Tampa. Why? Because I have a death wish. All right. Game number 3.
Buffalo. What about 2? Should we go to
game number 2? Game number 2. Yeah. Game number 2. Yeah. Number 2. Getting ahead of myself. Game number 2. Buffalo at the Detroit Red Wings. Playoff implications all around. Lonnie, you going to pick against the Red Wings?
I can't pick the Red Wings right now. Buffalo just beat them. I mean, he scored 7 on us the other day. This is terrible. I'm taking Buffalo.
And not to mention, you know, in their 7 losses, Detroit lost to Arizona twice. All right.
Twice. Thank you.
Adam.
It's a juicy game. This goes to one of my theories of you always pick home teams in afternoon games. So I'm going with Detroit. It's an early start.
It is an early start.
12:30 local time. I always like home teams in afternoon games.
All right. I'm going Detroit as well because this losing streak can't last forever. It's got to be broken somewhere.
The losing streak started when I picked Detroit over Florida 2 weeks ago, so I'm hoping that...
to reverse jinx it. Got it. Yeah, okay,
there
got
you
it,
go.
Got
there
it.
You go.
All right. Game number 3, the Philadelphia Flyers at the Boston Bruins. Adam, who you got?
You know, it's... Torts back for that one? Or is that game 2 of the suspension?
I think it's game 2.
It's game 2, so he's not back. They can't win without Torts. It's impossible. Boston. Okay.
Boston. All right, Lonnie.
Going with Boston only because they're the home team here. Neither team is really... they're both kind of limping into this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go Boston as well, although I'm going to say it. Every time I've gone against Philly this season, it's come back to bite me, but I don't want to go with Philly in this one. All right, game number 4, Carolina at Toronto. Lonnie, who you got?
boy, this is a tasty one. It's funny. The records are basically the Carolina Road record and the Toronto home record are basically identical. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with the Jerks pulling the little Hockey Night in Canada upset.
Did you say the Carolina home record and the Toronto road record are identical?
No. Carolina road, Toronto home.
Well, they're both identical almost. Like it's freaky.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, both of them, like their home versus away from both sides are pretty darn close. Yeah. One. Yeah. You can't go against Toronto at home on Hockey Night in Canada. Come on. Nobody can do that.
You're saying it's fixed? It's fixed?
No, I don't think it's fixed. What I think is fixed is they're making Calgary go against Montreal early, even though it's a Calgary home game.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they obviously want, but of course you have Edmonton and Vancouver at home. So it's like, nobody's
going to watch Calgary. You want to clear the decks. You don't want that thing out there.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'll take Toronto. Hockey Night in Canada. You don't lose at Maple Leaf Garden on Saturday nights.
I'm going to go 2-1 against you, Adam. I'm taking the Jerks in that one as well.
Okay.
All right. Last game. And Adam, how have the games been so far? To your liking?
Have they been okay? You had some room for error this week because there are 6 quality games and you picked 5 of the 6. So I had confidence in you this week that you wouldn't screw this up.
Okay. I'm just making sure it's okay. Okay. I got your blessing on these.
I mean, actually you had 7. I actually say you had 7 possible games to pick.
There were some good ones this week.
What's the 7th?
Washington, Vancouver. Washington's battling for a playoff spot.
I know they're battling, but Vancouver's
looking to clinch a division.
Like that to me is a clear 7th, a clear number 7 on the list.
Compared to some of the games Richard's picked in the past?
That's totally fair. Okay, I'm actually surprised. I'm surprised Colorado and Edmonton. I'm not saying you should replace it. I really thought Colorado, Edmonton would have made the cut.
I was going to. I've been putting Colorado in so many times. I need to shuffle it up. And I have one where I could.
Here's why he didn't have it make the cut. Because he wants to be a homer, but he knows they're going to get blown out in Edmonton on Saturday night. Oh, I think it's going to be ugly. I think Edmonton's going to be on a mission Saturday night.
Okay.
I don't know why, but they're streaking the right way again. And I mean, and it's not even McJesus that's doing it.
No.
I mean, you know, come on. It's whew, yeah. Okay.
All right. Game number 5.
What game are we talking about though? We're talking about LA Dallas.
LA at Dallas. Adam, who you got?
2 teams that are struggling right now. I saw LA in person on Wednesday night, by the way, watching one of the most boring hockey games, the most boring 68 shot hockey game I've ever seen in my life in St. Louis. It was there were no breakaways. The power plays were awful and dirty goals it was weird. And because of that, I'm picking Dallas because LA bored me to crap that game.
All right.
Oh my God. It was such a bad hockey game.
I'm going to take Dallas just because they're better. I mean, and they're home.
There's that.
There's that. Minor detail.
I'm trying to show depth here.
They expect that out of you, less so out of me.
You know what? I'm a game behind Adam. I'm swinging for the fences. I'm going to go down swinging or hit a home run here. I'm going LA. All right. You know what? There's a secret 6th pick, Colorado at Edmonton that just popped up.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna grab a women's game, but no, it's okay.
I mean, we know Adam's going Edmonton.
Oh, 100%.
Lonnie, you going against Adam?
No, I'm not going against Adam. Edmonton all day.
All right. I gotta go Colorado because they're going to win 4-3. They're going to be down 3-0 in the third period, come back and win an OT.
Why do I feel this bonus game only gets counted if Colorado wins?
Have I ever done that to you?
I can't answer that with certainty.
Yeah, you wouldn't have known.
Exactly. No,
it's counting. Okay. Either way, we're going 6. Going 6 this week.
Listen, it's a good, we should go 6 this week. It is a good slate.
It is.
We should embrace it.
Let's celebrate what the NHL has given us this week.
That's right.
Because we don't celebrate it very often. All right. Those are our picks of the week. If you want to follow us on Twitter or X or whatever the kids are calling it these days, you can follow us at PHN Podcast, and you can use the hashtag PHN Picks to submit your picks with us.
There you go. There you go. I really thought you were going to put a PWHL game when you said there was a mystery six. I thought, I'm like, ooh, ooh, what are we doing? What do we got going there? But that league's still plugging away.
Oh, doing yeah. No, they're doing great. They're doing great.
Fun to watch. And this is their takeover weekend as
it
well.
Is.
Don't yes. sleep on that. They're in Detroit. Saturday and Pittsburgh on Sunday for games. So, and I think Pittsburgh's getting the all-Canadian show in Toronto, Montreal. I mean, they're getting two of the best teams. How great for the league? Three teams tied for first right now. Three teams locked up on top. And then the next three teams are only 3 points separating them. So, I mean, everybody's still in it for playoffs. It's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's what you want.
It is. It is. It's really a shame New York's on the bottom. Just so sad that all the teams in New York. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can happen. But yeah.
Somebody's got to be.
Somebody's got to do it. So, final thoughts. Snowman, you're up.
Final thought, just kind of a public service announcement to anybody who's listening. If you haven't used your winter boots in a while, check them for holes. When I was having to stay downtown for weather coverage, I brought my snow boots. I brought all my snow gear because I knew I was going to do a lot of walking. I wasn't going to be driving anywhere. I was walking to the hotel downtown. And just plugging away through the snow, not really caring what I was stepping in until I noticed my left foot was very, very wet. I had to continue walking to the hotel with a wet left foot, and I had to do it on the way back to work the next morning. So check your boots. Make sure you don't have any holes. If you do, get those replaced. That is your public service announcement.
That's awesome.
Okay, I have nothing. I have nothing. I even if I had something, it couldn't top that. So I've got to ask you a question though, Richard. Was there nobody at the hotel with like some duct tape that you could have MacGyvered that?
I could have asked, but it wasn't that far of a walk.
I mean, at that point, like forget it for the walk back. They're already wet. It's done. But like,
exactly.
Oh, dude. I'm sorry.
I just stepped in this giant puddle. I was like, my foot's wet. I thought I had waterproof duck boots. They are not the officially licensed duck boots. They are the cheap knockoff, and it shows.
Well, but even duck boots aren't waterproof if there's a hole in them.
Right, exactly. But it's
hard to waterproof a hole.
A tread is like separating from the boot.
Unless you have Flex Seal, because that could do it to boats.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I could have used a screen door as a boat.
Yes. Could have flex sealed that stuff up because who doesn't trust flex? Who wouldn't get on a boat that's taped?
That's made of flex seal? I mean, come on.
Lonnie?
I legitimately have nothing.
You got Big Ten hockey?
We do. Okay. We have Big Ten hockey. For you. Michigan State, big weekend. Home for as long as we... Can keep winning. Got Ohio State tonight and the winner of, knock on wood, the winner of Michigan, Minnesota next weekend at Munn, and a number one seed awaiting somewhere, hopefully.
There you go. And I am in the mecca of college postseason hockey here in St. Louis. The ACHA, which is the club tournament, all five divisions going on. We're recording this Friday tonight. Indiana going for the D2 championship against the mighty team of red guys, things and stuff from Miami of Ohio, over at Centene. So, but not just that. Following week, regionals are here for the men. The D1 men's hockey regionals, where St. Louis is one of the four hosts. They just announced today four of the next 5 years. ACHA is returning with all their divisions. So the entire month of March, once again, no ice for men's league and youth. And also next year, the Frozen Four comes to the Enterprise Center in St. Louis. So college hockey in St. Louis, next couple of years, it's telling you, it's turning a little mini Mecca type thing. St. Louis Sports Commission is stepping up. The most fun part about this, Lonnie, you and I talked about this. The host this year for the regionals is Lindenwood University, who's just west of St. Louis, and that is their home rink, Centene Community Ice Center. But at the Enterprise Center, it's co-hosted by the St. Louis Sports Commission and the University of Vermont. Because that's...
Yeah. Listen, geography has never mattered in sports. How many years were the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC West?
Yeah. Well, you know, Cincinnati years. Reds and Braves were in the NL East, NL West.
NL West, long time.
Yeah. But the NCAA, it's... And then the after it comes to St. Louis... It goes to, in 2 years, it goes to Vegas, and North Dakota is hosting it at T-Mobile.
Could have been Arizona State. Could have been any of the Colorado schools.
Could have been any of them. What? One day I am going to see if I can get a talk to the St. Through some contacts. I do want to talk to the St. Louis Sports Commission and find out how this hosting stuff works. And I may have been in there to get that and get a conversation. So we'll see. We'll see. So, for Richard Cote, Lonnie Goldsmith, this is Adam Minnick. Thank you to our friends at Foco and My Custom Sports Chair and Manscaped for making this possible. This has been another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast.